The kids did a fantastic job, didn't they? And last night, the Christian school did the program. It was first through sixth grade that did the program. And tonight, of course, it's even the younger ones are included, the real young ones. And that's always interesting, isn't it? And, you know, those are memories that they'll remember from here on out. And, of course, we will, too, as parents. And that what a terrific job. Appreciate all the work, again, that went into that. Miss Latta Brandon and Jessica and the group, I know, as well as the Christian school working on the same program. And what a blessing. What a wonderful blessing to be a part of a church that would put out the energy and effort to put on a program like that. Amen? Amen. I'm not going to take very long, just don't want to overshadow or take the place of what's just been said. What a great message tonight. Think about Sam there in the play who had no clue of the Christmas story. As I said last night to the group that was here last night, it amazes me as a pastor how many people today, we live in a day and age where there are people who have no clue as to the Christmas story. There are some, I remember even 20 years ago I was door knocking and I knocked the door of this particular home and a young couple came to the door and I began to try to witness to them and they didn't know the story of Adam and Eve. They didn't know the story of Noah and the flood. They had no clue who Jesus was. They had heard of him, but they had no clue of the story of Jesus' birth. And just think now, 20 years later, how even increased that has become of people who have no clue. And so my thought is to let us remember to tell the Christmas story. Let us remember to keep Christ in Christmas. Amen. Make sure, and I say this every year, parents and grandparents, don't open the presents until you read the Christmas story to your kids and grandkids. Make it a rule. Make it part of it. It's just we're not going to open presents and do those things until we put the emphasis upon where it should be, and that upon Jesus Christ. And I know my dad, as I said last night, my dad years ago found a little book, a little storybook that has the story of Jesus' birth in it. And so the little ones can sit down and he reads the Christmas story from the storybook. And that way there's some visuals for the little ones to look at. As you can tell, little kids need some visuals. And, you know, so however you choose to do it, but just keep that thought. Christ is, because the tree's not what's most important. The other peripheral things of Christmas are not near as important as the emphasis upon Jesus Christ, that everyone understands that. And let's remember tonight that Jesus Christ came 2,000 years ago, that he was born in a manger. And whether he was born at the Tower of the Flock or whether he was born there in a hollow cave, if you would, a hollowed out place as they would have done there in Bethlehem, he was born in a manger and born there in humble beginnings. And I just imagine the Son of God became the Son of Man. Son of God referring to his deity, Son of Man referring to his humanity. He became a man. He lowered himself, if you would. He abased himself. He humbled himself and became man. He who was rich, the Bible says, became poor in order that he might sacrifice for us. And he did so on the cross of Calvary. And remembering that he lived a perfect life for 33 and a half years, he is the only man, woman, no human being has ever lived a sinless life except the Lord Jesus Christ. Never one time having a sinful thought, never one time performing a sinful deed. He was sinless in his disposition, he was sinless in his desire, and he was certainly sinless in his deeds. That is the Savior, that is Christ the Lord. And so when the Roman soldiers came and took him away there in the garden, they brought him before the various trials that he went through. And there he was sentenced to the cross. Remember, Pilate could find no fault in him. They found no fault in him. But the jealous Jews and the Pharisees, the leadership, wanted him crucified. And there Jesus Christ walked the road to Calvary. And there he was crucified on the cross. Not for sin he had done, but he died there for our sins. He took the penalty for my sins. He died in my place. He shed his blood. And I always like to point out too, remembering that it was not just the death of Christ that paid the price for our sins. It was the blood. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. remembering that the blood and the death of Christ are not synonymous, that both are required. And Jesus Christ shed his blood on Calvary, and he died. He didn't swoon. He didn't pass out. He died on Calvary. And they took him down off the cross, and they put him in a borrowed tomb. And there he lay for 3 days. But on the third day, he rose again from the dead. For he is not here, the angel said. He is risen. And now Jesus Christ lives at the right hand of the throne of God, ever making intercession for us. I hope tonight that you're saved. I hope there's been a point in your life when you've accepted Christ as your personal Savior. I hope there's been a time that you can point to and say, yeah, at the age of 6 years old, I knelt in my pastor's office. And there I asked God to forgive me my sins and ask the Lord to save me. I hope there's a time in which that's happened to you. It'll change your life forever. As I said this morning, I'm glad when I got saved, God created within me a new heart, a new want to, gave me a new life. What a blessing. What a blessing tonight for the kids. Amen. Appreciate the kids. They're back in here now. Let's give them another hand clap. Appreciate kids. Wonderful job. Wonderful job. Brother Brandon, Miss Jessica, I don't know who all else involved, Miss Latta, others involved in that. We appreciate that so very, very much. Let me give